Welcome, everybody, to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
I have something I want to talk about.
Okay.
And that is, well, first of all,
you're crossing your arms. I feel like
I know. I just because I don't know what to do with my hands, really. I'm like, I had a doctor's appointment today. I've been putting off, or not today. I had it on yesterday because I need to take care of this deviated septum.
Yes. Yeah.
I know it's been a problem. It's been a problem for a really long time.
And but, you know, healthcare in this country.
But this is what I want to talk about.
Excellent.
So I reached out to my insurance company. They were like, you do not need a referral for a specialist for an ENT. And I was like, fantastic. So I tried to get an appointment with this doctor that had really amazing reviews. And I, you know, narrowed it down to this person that I wanted, covered by my insurance, et cetera, et cetera. I call. And they're like, I was like, I already checked. My insurance doesn't need a referral. And they were like, oh, sorry. He's not taking new patients unless they have a doctor's referral. So you do have to have one for him. So I was like, fucking fine.
This is why I don't go to the doctor. Okay, 100%. Because I'm like, I'm tired just thinking about that. I guess I'll just die.
That's same.
You know?
Same. So I was like, fuck it. I really need to do this. So I had Friday off. So I was like, so I did a teledoc appointment. Mm-hmm. And on my appointment, the guy was like, I was like, well, I can't breathe. And he was like, do you have asthma? And I was like, oh, no, it's not that. I was like, I can't breathe out of my nose. I've had like this problem for a long time. And he is like, you need to see an ENT. And I was like, I know.
No kidding.
He's like, he goes, you haven't seen an ENT yet? And I was like, no. He's like, I'm giving you a referral immediately. He's like, why haven't you? He's like, I don't understand. And I was like, thank you. I don't understand either. He was like the nicest guy ever. And I'm like, first of all, teledoc underrated. Second of all, like, he's just like, that's absurd. Like, you definitely need to see an ENT. This is
right.
Like, I can't believe we're at this point. And he's like, how long? And I was like, 20 plus years easily.
Oh my gosh.
That I've been dealing with this. And he's like, this is ridiculous. He's like, absolutely. He's like, it's done. He's like, I'll send it over immediately. Great. So I did get my service, but I was like, or I did get my appointment with this guy, but I was just like, this is absurd that you have to jump through the, and the thing is, I realized, and I was talking to Chris about this, I was like, I think the reason I've avoided going to see a doctor and finally just getting this taken care of for so long is because I feel like people don't believe you. Doctors don't believe women.
Yeah.
Oh.
When they say
medical gaslighting
with them.
Medical gaslighting is a real thing.
It's a huge thing. And I'm like, I literally was like, it's not me. And Chris, when I told him I got the appointment, he was like, that must feel so good for you and your anxiety. I was like, you can't understand. It really does, because I feel like for so long, anytime I brought it up during an appointment, I feel like doctors think I'm just trying to get a free nose job out of this or some shit. Like, they're just like, no, try this.
You're the doctor. That. Why don't you check? Because I'm sure that there has to be a way to check.
Ask me the number of times that somebody actually looked at my nose, looked up in my nose, looked at anything to even not. Never.
That's infuriating. So I mean, and I told you outside, I've been like dragging my feet about getting my IUD removed because of how fucking much it hurt getting it put in. And I've heard, oh my God, there was a TikTok that came on my For You thing where it's like, oh yeah, it got embedded in my uterus and they just like tried to like rip it out and stuff. And I'm like, and they do this with no pain medicine because we're supposed to just fucking deal with it. Or isn't it still like the common belief like among doctors that like women's cervix and uterus like doesn't have nerve endings? And I'm like,
just feel less pain in general, that women feel less pain. Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, there are lots of great follows on TikTok of like women who are medical doctors kind of like discussing this issue and how prevalent it actually is like within the medical industry. There was one I was telling you about where a woman was talking about like getting your uterus biopsied and how like they just go in there and they just cut a piece off and they do not give you anesthetic for it. And the men in the comments were like, I'm sorry, what? Like, they were like, because she explained the procedure in detail and it's like, yeah, they are cutting off a piece of your body.
Yeah.
And you're just supposed to like, I guess you can muscle through it. You know what I mean? It's wild.
When I told Chris about my appointment and I was like how good it was to have a doctor actually believe me, he was like, oh, it's probably because it doesn't have anything to do with your reproductive organs. I was like, oh,
it's true.
But for real, Yeah. But for real.
I just, the whole thing about like the cervix not having any feelings, awful. I'm like, you must be out of your mind. Cause every time they go in there for that pap smear, I'm like, oh, I feel that. Yeah. That scrapey thing sure that they do. It. I feel it sometimes if you're having sex and that, mm-hmm. that big D hits it sometimes. Yeah. Not right. I'm like, ow. You know, I'm like, yeah. just ask a woman. We'll tell you. Like, yeah. No, I feel it.
Yep.
I feel it.
And you see, this is why, and hashtag not all male gynecologists, mm-hmm. but this is why if I get to pick, it's a woman every fucking time.
You know what, though? I've had just as many bad experiences with women gynecologists.
The one that put my IUD in, no, not even a goddamn Tylenol was like written up. It was almost 30 seconds. And 30 seconds when you are, a long that's time. A long time. Mm-hmm. Sweat, my yeah. armpit sweat. It was hurt so bad. So, yeah, I just, I mean, I'm hoping that there's more advocacy and that, like, the story's changing as people share their experiences and everything. But,
yeah,
oh, God, man.
Just felt good to be listened to for once and have somebody just, I don't know, fucking believe me.
Yeah.
Just fucking believe me.
No, I feel like especially when it comes to reproductive health, people think that you are exaggerating. And not just doctors. Like, I feel like people in life, like, when I tell you, like, I actually really need to go to the gynecologist because I haven't been in a really long time and shit is not right. I'm going to tell you that right now. It is not right. And I know it's not right, which means that like, so I need to go. But I feel like just in life, when you try and tell people, like, the pain that I feel every month is intolerable.
Yeah.
It's like I get fevers, I get chills, I pass out, I throw up.
Wow,
like
that is...
these are the things that happen to me every single month.
Wow.
Every yeah. single month. And like we're just expected to just continue living our lives mm-hmm. as though nothing is wrong because you can't just stop living every month. You know, right. you have to keep going to work and getting stuff done and running your errands yeah. and making yeah. your appointments whenever like you feel like you're actually going to die. And ugh. Like people just don't like they just I think that they think that you are like weak or you have like a low pain tolerance, which I don't think I have a low pain threshold
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
It's just hard. It's just like I don't know, it's hard to get people to like listen to you and believe you to the point where like I just don't talk about it very much anymore because
yeah.
it's like what's the point?
yeah know? And the other thing too is because of the way that our system is structured, and I mean I know the way that I was raised, you had to be five alarms
oh, yeah.
like dead
yes.
in order to go to the doctor
yeah.
in my family.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yes.
Even with insurance. I had to explain that to my boss who's in Europe. Like, even with the absolute best insurance that you can buy,
yep.
you still pay.
Like, yeah.
he was mm-hmm. blown away by that. I'm yeah. like, yeah, I don't know how to explain the American healthcare system
right.
to somebody
it's
with.
A big reason why I haven't been to the doctor, the gynecologist in a long time is because I'm like, look, man, I know that something could be seriously wrong that I should have looked at.
Yeah.
But like the possibility of something being seriously wrong is like dollar signs. And I know
that's
that
right.
you should not
oh
look at it like that, but it's like, no. And or even to yeah. figure out if something is seriously wrong is a lot of money. Like
right.
they could do all the things and then be like, IDK, like we don't know. And
right.
here's your bill for fucking like.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars
yeah,
that
yeah.
you don't have.
Yeah. That's going to take you the next 10 years to pay off. So bye.
Bye.
Good
yeah.
luck.
yeah.
It really is. And Chris even said, he's like, you know, like, we, you know, we need to make sure like how much it's going to cost. And I'm like, listen, I know. But I'm like, also too, like, I can't live my whole fucking life not
right.
being able to fucking breathe.
Yeah.
My nose. Like, it
yeah.
just, it's always that balancing act that we are making constantly with, and I said to Chris yesterday, I'm like, I can't believe we have fucking health insurance that we pay for so much for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much for. And we still have to make the debate on whether we can use that health insurance.
It makes me yep. not even want it on principle. I've had this conversation many times too, because I'm like, this feels like bullshit because you're taking a significant amount of money out of
yes.
my paycheck every fucking month.
Yep.
And I still don't know if I can
afford to go to the doctor.
What?
That's right.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Why?
Oh my
it's,
God.
Ugh, and meanwhile, Elon Musk is the first trillionaire, but we don't okay. have to talk about that.
Oh my God.
If they can tax billionaires, they can tax us too. Just remember.
Yeah. Well, I started watching The Problem with Jon Stewart because I finally got Apple TV, and Wow. My rage level has reached new. But
I feel like I can't go there, man.
I love Jon Stewart.
Ooh, hot. Yeah. Hot. Still hot.
Very much a zaddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But my rage level just like it stays at a consistent, like simmering 8. So I really feel like I can't do anything that's going to jump me up.
No,
to like a 10 or an 11, you know?
He nails it too. He talks about, or he does this skit with space tourism with Branson and Bezos and Elon or whatever. Jason Alexander's playing Bezos.
Amazing.
Skit. I had to show it to you guys. I was laughing so hard because they basically all like build giant dicks to send themselves into
so
space.
Funny.
It's so, so bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive. Life. What totally. A time. You know? Okay, great.
exactly.
As we struggle to decide whether we can go see our doctor.
Exactly. I know. Literally. And they're like, you know what would be fun? Just a little space stick.
Day in space.
Let's do it.
I'd like to take old Willie Shatner up there, you know? Sounds like a good time. Oh, I mean, I don't begrudge him, whatever. But like, I'm just saying, it's just, why is this real life? I don't understand.
The disparity.
Yeah.
You know, like,
the wealth gap is huge. Yeah. And it's like, I just don't understand how someone could literally just fuck off to space when like there are like tent cities. Yeah.
Dude,
you know?
There was an article from 2016 that was talking about how modern Americans take less time off than medieval peasants.
Oh my.
But for real, God. You're like, where's my fucking paid sick leave?
That's cute.
Here's my fucking, ugh. Yeah.
You have it. You just can't take it.
Laughs an independent contractor. You're like,
exactly. Oh, gotta love that gig economy. Right?
Fun. Very fun. Well, anyway, there was another TikTok I saw recently because that's where I get all of my information now. That's mm-hmm. who I am. That's who I've become. Listen, I don't need you in my DMs being like, you bring it up every episode. I know. But this man is being torn to pieces, as well he should. And I sent it to you guys and I was like, I must participate in tearing this man down. And he was talking about how if you're a woman and a man buys you a drink at a bar, that you're cheating.
How?
First of all, do you know how many drinks I've had forced upon me against my will? Yeah. Like when I'm always like, please don't.
Yeah.
I would rather you didn't.
Yeah.
And they do it anyway.
Right.
So if you are going to give me a drink, I am going to take that drink and walk back
to my husband.
Yeah. And my friends.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kick it with them with my free drink. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Okay. And if you're real lucky, sometimes you can get multiple drinks and then you can share those drinks with your husband, significant other, friends, etc. Okay, so you can actually go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cheating. How the fuck?
What? How?
That is like,
that's a red flag.
I mean,
ladies,
I don't want to take it to this place, but that's like telling somebody who gets like assaulted that they're cheating because you have no part in that. Somebody bought you a drink. It's not like you participated in that.
Yeah, I didn't force you to spend your money on me.
You didn't.
Have you
ask
lost
him
your mind?
For a drink? I'm so confused.
Oh, dude. If I get a drink at a bar, I'm like, yes.
That's called budgeting, babe.
Exactly.
I'm saving us money.
Exactly.
Okay?
When I was young and high, I was not a big drinker anyway. So I was like, when I was like not having the monies. Times I was like, I'm not drinking tonight unless somebody buys me drinks, and then still walk away wasted half the time. So
I mean, honestly, like drinks are expensive. Yeah. Drinks are expensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
No cheating. Come on, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
To me, from that guy,
100%.
Like
it would be
very controlling. Right?
And very blamey, because like I said, like oftentimes it's not something that you ask for.
That's right.
And turning down a drink oftentimes can be more like scary than just saying okay and walking away.
Yes. Right.
Because men like that don't like rejection. Men who are pushy enough to force a drink on you typically don't like rejection either. That's so, right. Like, shut up. Just shut up.
Like, honestly. My favorite TikToker right now is, I think her name is Drew.
I fucking love
it. I the way am she obsessed. Laughs. She literally, she finds these kinds of TikToks.
She responded to that one too. Oh, yeah, she did. Oh
my God. I follow her. I'm obsessed with her. She just laughs and she reads these men to filth. It is.
Love it.
Chef's kiss.
Love to see it.
Oh my gosh. It's so, yes. Drew Faulo? F-A.
It's something like Ferrulo?
Ferrulo or something. Yeah, yeah. Look her man. Up. She is.
Very funny.
She is a treasure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Hoo-wee.
All right. Well, healthcare, Bezos, and TikTok. That's quite the opening.
Covering it. Getting it all covered. The trifecta.
Who should we fuck, marry, kill this week?
Ooh, I know.
Yeah.
We talked about on our last road trip, you and I, Christina, and then we sent it to Keegan, was we should do like rock zaddies.
Ooh.
Like rock and roll, because we were like rock and roll icons,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like rock and roll icons.
I got one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Lenny Kravitz.
Okay.
Oh, my
shit. Hot. Coming in fucking hot.
Coming in hot.
Okay. Yeah. That has not aged in 20 years.
That
precious.
Ooh. Mm. Like, there are certain men who I see that I'm like, I feel nervous right now, and you're like, not even in front of me. Not like, even. If I saw him in real life.
Done.
I think I'd pass out.
She got the vapors.
Vapes. Wow, this is hard. I think I had to go with I got to go with McCartney.
Okay.
Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He's
a zaddy.
He's a zaddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be controversial.
Okay.
But I am I'm a big Pete Townsend. I think he's so fucking hot. I can't help it.
Really, that is controversial. That's a hot take.
I know, but he's so good looking. Oh, that schnoz.
This is the woman who says that we run towards the red flags.
Okay. I just said he was hot. I didn't say I was invited to a sex. I didn't effing say yet. I'm just saying.
Because he is very much the like tortured genius, very, very difficult to get along with kind of personality.
But you could change him, Christina.
Nope.
Nice.
She's like, I'm not even trying it.
We've learned lessons here.
This whole thing is so triggering for me because like, I left carrying amps in my past. Mm-hmm. Like, you know?
You're not going to have to carry amps with any of these. Maybe Pete Townsend, actually. Like, but the other two. You're not going to have to carry amps with them.
No.
You think the Who's Pete Townsend has to carry an amp?
No, but he might make you.
No, he wouldn't. Not on my fucking watch.
And listen, the other thing, too, about McCartney, that's a very, very serious vegan life right there, too. He is hardcore vegan and has been for a long time. So I'm like, that's tough because mama likes tacos and
I don't
burgers.
Like tofu.
Tofu? I don't really I don't like tofu either.
Tofu?
Well, I have been doing the vegetarian thing for about a month now.
Yeah.
So
take away cheese.
But taking away cheese. But like, is he going to make me do it?
I don't know. Kind of like, seems like.
You can't force me to give up cheese.
I mean, he's got the kind of money that you could do vegan right, though. That's the thing.
That's true.
That's true.
He probably has a really talented vegan chef.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I made vegan butter cauliflower last night. It was like butter chicken, like Indian, but with cauliflower. It was so good. It was so good. So there are ways to do it right. And I feel like if you could have, he's got a personal chef and shit.
He's got Beatles money.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I know what I'm doing.
He isn't in space.
I'm going to... Oh, shit. You know, I really feel like you can't go wrong marrying Lenny Kravitz or...
That's right.
Or Paul McCartney.
You got a good...
Like, yeah, you're good either way because Lenny Kravitz seems like such a good, like, supportive ex-husband.
Yeah.
Like, to Lisa Bonet. Like, he is chilling with Jason Momoa, like, all the fucking time. Like, I'm like, I love this. I love this for Zoe. I feel like this is very healthy and good.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he would be a very good partner.
Yeah.
Can we talk... Are there two people more attractive the universe that have gotten
is
together.
The proof Zoe Kravitz, honestly? Yes. Like, seriously?
Oh, Lisa Bonet looks the fucking same,
Lisa
too.
Lisa Bonet looks exactly
In fact, she looks better.
Yeah.
I hate
like,
it.
She aged.
So jealous.
She aged in such a way that I'm just like, what happened here? I feel like this was a mistake. I feel like she like stumbled upon something beautiful and good for her and Lenny.
Good for you.
Good for them both.
Good for you.
I think he might be a vegan too.
I think you're right.
Lenny Kravitz.
I think so.
Yeah. That's probably why he looks like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh.
Oh yeah. No.
Do you think they don't drink too?
Oh, well, their skin elasticity would say yes, probably. They probably don't drink.
Wow, man. But I'm like,
sounds
could
like
I give
the most fun so
give
far.
Yeah, that's true.
A burger and White Claws. Probably for Lenny Kravitz.
For Lenny Kravitz?
Yeah, he is that hot.
He is hot. Whew. I think I'm going to fuck Lenny Kravitz, though.
I think so, too.
I think so, three.
I don't think I could be married. He is, and I've talked about it before.
Yeah.
He is so hot that it makes me uncomfortable.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
right. I would feel he would do, and you know, he wouldn't make you feel this way.
No.
Like, he would make you feel like a fucking queen every day, but I still wouldn't believe this man.
But it'd be,
I'd be like,
it'd be people making TikToks about, like, who's the troll that's with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'd be like,
you're right.
Single
and
tears.
I'd be like, you're right.
Lenny Kravitz wouldn't make me feel that way,
no.
But the whole rest of the world.
And you. You just make yourself feel that way.
Right.
Like, I feel like I would just make myself feel that way because I wouldn't trust it.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, I'd be like, this is too.
Do you think our guys have, like, a complex now? We chose you because you're not too hot.
Oh, no. They're so hot.
Yeah.
I love our hot men.
It's probably good they don't listen.
We have fucking amazing
men. You know?
Yeah.
Dude, honestly.
Oh, Lord. But I am going to marry Paul McCartney. I'm going to marry him because I feel like that is a real... First of all, he seems like a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Like, in interviews, I'm like, you seem like a real sweet...
You have the best conversations.
...guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That documentary with him and Rick Rubin was just so fucking enjoyable. And he's just so open about the way that he creates and he can play, like, everything. He just kind of seems like just a fun person to hang around.
Kind of reminds me too much of my dad.
Well, yeah. I mean, he is old.
Yeah.
It's an old man.
It's not even just the old thing. It's just the, like, he can play every musical instrument. So it's just, I don't know. That's the house I grew up in. It just feels like it hits real close. Like, oh, you can play everything. Great. Probably right and left handed. Perfect.
I mean, motherfucker dreamed about the song yesterday.
Oh.
I mean, and was like, does this already exist? It feels like it already exists. It has to exist. I'm like,
beautiful.
That's amazing.
Oh, I love him. Yeah, I'm going to marry him. I'm going to marry him and we're going to have a real, you know what? I always wanted to have like an English countryside manor house, you know, like, you know, Christina, growing up reading like Austin and stuff. You're like, I just want to live in one of those with a big courtyard. Maybe it has a labyrinth on the property somewhere made of hedges.
Just somewhere to vacation.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. And but then you have your beautiful London flat.
Yeah, the best, the best sheets.
Mm.
Okay,
your sheets are so good.
Those sheets are good, right?
Vegan. vegan sheets.
Vegan sheets.
Bamboo.
That feels scratchy. I don't know.
No, bamboo is amazing.
Is it
so fucking soft?
Oh,
yeah.
I feel like Lenny Kravitz definitely has bamboo sheets.
For sure.
Yeah.
You said scratchy.
They're wood.
They're I'm like wood. Splinters. You're just getting full body splinters. But yeah, I'm gonna fuck Lenny Kravitz for obvious reasons.
I mean,
it's
doesn't
it's
need to
clear.
Be explained.
Yeah.
No. You know. And listen, love you always and forever, Paul McCartney. But you are old. So I got Lenny later.
Yeah.
Lenny can be my second husband.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. That's a plan.
And you're going to get rid of Pete.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love The Who, too.
I do, too.
I really do.
I just want to have that date night.
Not Pete Townsend.
Man. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm good looking, though.
I'm a Roger Daltrey girl. He's a little guy, but
he's not good looking.
Yeah. Well, not now. He was back in the day.
Comes
Yeah, different strokes for different folks, and I think Pete Townsend is a dick. So,
I think that I am changing things up. I would like to fuck Mary Friend. In fact, I think it's where I'm going with this because I'm gonna fuck Pete Townsend. I want that date. I want that. We're gonna drink whiskey. talk about music.
Uh-huh.
He's a little bit more punk rock, which is more
very abrasive personality. And I think that that's what makes me very uncomfortable.
Me too.
I don't like people are very abrasive.
You are not abrasive, Cassie.
Pete Townsend is abrasive in all the interviews. And I'd be like,
it would make me uncomfortable after a long time.
Listen, no judgment. We have all made questionable decisions at this table. Like, so no judgment whatsoever. Listen,
I led with it. It was going to be questionable.
Yeah. Like, totally fine. I'm with you.
Yeah. I am going to marry Lenny Kravitz.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's a good choice.
I think it's a good choice for me. I think that he does, again, I think we all go through the who reminds you the most of your own significant other sometimes. Mm-hmm. And he does. He's
I think Lenny Kravitz probably does more fun things than Paul McCartney does.
100%. He's going to take you like surfing. He's going to take you surfing in Hawaii and stuff like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
all kinds of stuff. Whereas like Paul McCartney is kind of...
You're having a chill
old
life.
Yeah. It's very, very chill.
Yeah, you're having a library life, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have friends with him. But I don't... Like, we would have a fun date night together. Like, maybe... I just... Yeah, no. I'm sticking to it.
I think it's a good decision. Yeah. And, you know, Lenny Kravitz, not only does he have a good relationship with Lisa Bonet,
which I can appreciate, he
also has a good relationship with Nicole Kidman, who was also an ex.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's got something cool going on there.
Yeah. If you have, like, if you're on good terms like that with your ex, it means, like, you're mature communication and everything. And it just didn't work out. But you were able to still, like, maintain that love there, and that's a big
take the good things from the relationship and move on.
Yeah,
that's nice, beautiful. Like, we love it.
Love to see it.
Yeah.
How about you?
I am going to marry Paul McCartney. I do think the library life is the life for me.
You know?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. That's
Sir Paul.
Sir. Mm-hmm. Does that make me a lady then?
I would hope so.
No, I don't think it automatically does.
I don't think it does, but I'll call you Lady Christina.
Yeah, I will.
Ooh, living my best Jane Austen life. But I think that quiet, chill life of just being able to, like, maybe you can teach me how to play piano. That would be really exciting.
There's probably horses involved.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Totally have horses.
Yeah.
You definitely have a stable.
And so, yeah, I think I'm going to marry him. And then, like, this is kind of hard because, like, honestly, like, I could see, like, Pete Townsend being very good in bed.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
That kind of arrogance doesn't come from nothing.
Exactly. Cocky for a reason. But,
Lenny Kravitz is going to make love to you. Oh, it just ruined it. You just ruined it, Christina.
Yeah. I think he's going to go for a long time.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
He's got long time vibes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you just kind of know, like,
he's
not somebody that's just in and out.
No.
I can look at him and he doesn't seem like the quickie type.
No, Pete Townsend is in and out.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wham, bam.
I think that's what I'm going to do.
Wait, you didn't say. So are you fucking Pete Townsend?
Oh, no, I'm fucking Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, okay.
I'm in it to win it.
Yeah.
I'm a marathon man. I can do it. I can do it.
I'm nervous.
Well, you guys want to take 5 and we'll come back with stories?
Yeah.
Good.
Great.
And we're back. All right, Cass.
Sorry, I just sneezed and did the right when you did just wanted to clarify that was not something
they're weird. Like, what just happened in that room?
Don't worry about it. Oh, man. All right. So I got the story from our inbox, and I can't wait. This is a sort of a date story, at least for the guy considered it was a date. It's a bit of a long story, but I will just hit the highlights. It was 1984 in Utah.
And a soundtrack just start? Like, new wave just started playing in my head right now.
How San Junipero. Does it feel?
100. Treat me like you do. All right. In 1984 in Utah, and I was a junior in high school, I was in AP English class, and apparently there was a guy in my class who was low-key stalking me. My situational awareness in high school wasn't great, but I have since honed it to CIA-approved levels.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Anyway, I frankly hadn't even noticed this guy, who was kind of a quiet loner. Let's call him W. So, it's George W. Bush, isn't it?
Isn't it?
W.
W. So I started to get all the all kinds of hang up phone calls. And since it was the 80s, I had no way of knowing who was calling. I wasn't afraid or anything, just really annoyed. After a week or two, there was finally a voice on the other end of the phone. He spoke quietly, telling me he had been watching me.
No.
And that he thought I was a nice person who would probably really understand him.
No.
I wasn't sure what that meant. But since I had been raised in the be nice culture, I kept talking to him. He rambled on about being a secret ninja.
No.
Secret ninja. I feel like that's, what is that? Like a double, what do you call that?
Double entendre.
Because
like, aren't ninjas supposed to be?
Like, are secret. So yeah. Yeah. It's unnecessary.
He was a secret ninja and told me that he wanted to show me his skills. I guess that explains the sharp black ninja star that I had left on my front porch with my name written on it earlier the week.
Wait, no. I'm sorry.
No, that's terrifying. If I found a ninja star, which by the way, I opened the door the other day and there was a little red wagon on my doorstep. A little which wagon? Also, yeah, a wheel web wagon.
A wheel web wagon?
Very bizarre.
It's a ghost child.
Things left on porches.
No. Not cool. Don't love it. I don't love that. I also, what was the obsession in the 80s with ninjas? Okay. Like there was like a real ninja. Ninja was having a moment in the 80s.
Like vampires in the 90s.
Yeah.
There were a whole bunch of movies when we were kids about like ninjas.
Yeah. Yes. What's the deal? Like so why? And yeah. Okay.
I hemmed and hawed, not really sure what to say or what he was even talking about. W told me that I would keep receiving gifts from him and that when I had the complete set, we would meet.
I like that she's kind of like, okay.
I actually wasn't sure what to do and just ended up saying, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He's like, okay.
Like, do you know how terrifying? 9-1 fucking one.
No, like, no ninja stars. That is a weapon.
The ninja gifts indeed kept coming. Always mysteriously dropped on onto my front porch. We had a tall porch, about 10 steps leading up to it.
And I need to know what her parents think about her name.
And a very long circular driveway. So he really must have booked it after he rang the doorbell because I never saw him.
That man was hiding in the bushes.
Honestly, I just couldn't place who he was and still didn't realize we had a class together almost every day. Well, my dad became aware of what was going on and he was not amused.
Yeah, no.
He didn't know if this kid was a bubbling or a budding serial killer or just some kind of lonely person. The clincher for my dad was when W sent me a dramatic message insisting that I meet him in an abandoned building in the woods.
Okay.
Yes, seriously. By this time, I just wanted to get this whole thing over with and this last message had freaked me out. I told him that fine, I would meet him for his supposed date, but that my dad was coming with me. W wasn't thrilled about that. But at the agreed upon day, my dad and I found the creepy, dilapidated wood in the woods and walked in.
No.
I hope she took her dad. Did dad have a weapon? Like...
That's a good dad.
That is a good dad.
That's awesome.
There was W, who had set up an elaborate show and tell of all of his ninja stuff.
No.
Clothing, weapons, etc.
No. Oh, I'm cringing so hard.
He was dressed in all black, including a ninja mask covering his face. And he was sitting cross-legged on the floor. He immediately did some kind of jumpy ninja move off the floor and started throwing ninja stars at the target he had taped up to the wall.
Honey.
If this doesn't happen to my kid someday, I'm going to be so...
You're taking him back.
If I don't get to do... Can you imagine what that dad must be thinking? Because I would die.
No.
Oh my God.
After a while, my dad and I realized, since it was clear that this kid was just harmless, we politely watched the demonstration for about 20 minutes, which clearly...
20 minutes!
Please tell me.
No! 20 minutes is so long! Like, that is a long time! I'm sorry.
I'm dying.
He talked excitedly about how we had a class together and again about how he knew I would understand.
And you still don't know who he is because he has a mask on. Oh my
God. I could see he needed a friend, but I didn't want to encourage him too much in his infatuation with me. My dad and I oohed and awed over his talents, but told him that we needed to leave. Then my dad asked W to please not contact me again.
Oh.
At school, I just politely smiled at W in the class and occasionally asked him about his ninja stuff, but made sure not to be too effusive. He actually respected my dad's instructions to not contact me at home.
If they're married now, I literally am going to pee
no chance
my pants.
No chance.
Except for one time several months later during the summer. I happened to be in Hawaii at the time, but my sister opened the front door to find W hunched over on the porch with a ketchup on his shirt. He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt and was saying that he had just returned from a, quote, mission in the islands
honey.
And had been injured. He was staggering around and moaning. My sister just tried hard not to laugh and said something to him like, oh, that's too bad. Kelly isn't here. But I'll tell her you stop by. I never talked to him again after that. It's been 37 years since all of this happened, but my sister acts out the wounded with ketchup on a Hawaiian shirt scene at least every other year.
I need to know what happened to this person. I need to know what happened. Like, did they grow up and they just became like an accountant and now they cringe? They wake up in the middle of the night just like in a cold sweat thinking about this? Or is this something that they took with them into adulthood? Like, I need to know. I need to know.
That is incredible. I literally, crying.
Crying. Wow.
So good.
that's one of my favorites.
That really is one of my favorites. Wow. Taking your dad. Because we're now old enough to be that dad and to be like, what would you think this poor teenage dude is trying to do ninja skills?
Oh, I would have said Chris for sure. It wouldn't be.
I like also just we've all been to like a friend's bad improv show and like imagine
the cringe
like watching this kid alone. He has a full display. He's doing like really bad, like, you know how when you're like you're with a friend's child and they're like three and they're like, watch this, and they do like a fucking like kick and it goes like 3 inches off the ground and you're like, ooh. That's what I'm imagining here. Like really bad.
Real Stuart vibes here.
Kick flips.
Look what I can do.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh
God. Chef's kiss on that one.
Wow.
Goodness.
Mine is not nearly that good. I'm like sweating having to follow it. Okay. Not necessarily a date, but a person I was dating invited me to his parents' house for the afternoon. He wanted to introduce me to them and show me the house he grew up in. I thought it was super sweet and had no problems going. He was also in the middle of moving and needed to pick up a few things, so it really didn't seem that unusual. Yeah, we got there and it was awful. His entire family was there. They traveled from hours away. This was not just meeting the parents. It was meeting the entire family. Even worse, at some point, this jackass told his parents that he had proposed. We had only been dating for 2 months.
Oh.
I spent the entire afternoon dumbfounded and just playing along. We were 2 hours from home and I had no cell service and no way to leave.
Oh.
We ended up spending the afternoon brainstorming wedding ideas.
Oh no. Now that's an escape room.
How do you get out? How do you get out?
How do you
Where's
get
the
out?
Exit? Where's the exit?
Get, Where's solve the, puzzles? The clues.
Where are the puzzles?
Brainstorming wedding ideas and planning an Alaskan honeymoon that his parents planned on gifting us.
Okay.
His brother even called to say congratulations.
Oh, wow.
We drove back to his apartment in silence. When we got there,
no, immediately, as soon as I got in that car, motherfucker,
what the fuck? Immediately.
What that's in the fuck
same.
Is happening?
Excuse me? How fucking dare you?
How am I the last to know that I was proposed to?
You know?
And apparently accepted.
Yeah.
Accepted. Family traveled.
Oof.
Traveled in from hours away to meet you.
That is so.
And he didn't warn you. goes through someone's head?
Something's going on. Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
What? How did you think this would end? Like, that's how did you think this would end? Okay, so she says, we drove back to his apartment in silence. When we got there, I got in my car and left. Didn't even bother grabbing my stuff. Weirdest experience ever. I have no idea how he broke it to his parents that we weren't getting married.
Oh, I'm sure he threw her under the bus or something.
100.
Oh, 100. You know where my mind goes to is like, I wonder what he did that he has to distract his family from.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that?
Because why else would you?
Why would you do that?
That's so bizarre. And
he really did bet on her not like being like, what the fuck?
Outing her.
Like outing him to his whole family.
Right. Yeah. That's bizarre. Mm. Oof. Okay. Went on a date with a girl that, in hindsight, had more red flags than a communist rally.
Oh.
All right. She didn't drive, so I was driving her to our first date. During small talk, she admitted she legally wasn't allowed to drive because of 2 counts of attempted vehicular manslaughter.
Whoa! Like, not even a DUI.
Damn. It's
like,
wait. Oh, no.
2 separate occasions on the same person.
I knew it. I was like, it's gotta be. No. Yeah, she's like, didn't work the first time.
I'm gonna fucking run this bitch.
Second time's the charm.
Oh, God.
First time, the judge chalked it up to an accident. Mm. Second time, he revoked her license. But that's not all that came up in small talk.
This is like casual appetizer conversation.
Moose boosh of criminality.
Oh. The title of this episode.
She also talked about her ex a lot and the fact that she has a shunt in her brain. This will come up later.
Wait.
Oh, no.
I let her pick where the first date would take place. The sky was the limit, and she picked Golden Corral.
What?
She's like, I have big dreams. Golden Corral. Golden
Corral. Oh.
Love that Buffett. We get there, and it's like 7 because she wanted to go to the movies after. She immediately drives the conversation into sex talk.
I'm not talking at a Golden Corral. Which, by the way, at 7 isn't busy because everybody's done eating.
Yeah, because everybody goes there and eats at 5 p.m. Early bird special. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it's not gentle, playful segue, but a mid-sentence. By the way, because I have that shunt in my brain, rough sex could kill me, but I still want it.
Oh!
Wait, what?
You're not putting me in that position, ma'am. Like,
You could kill me.
It's not
but
on
I like
my,
it. But I like
it's not
it.
On my bingo it's card to yet. Kill somebody during sex.
No, no. She did not have volume control. Then she started talking about her ex's dick. Every single aspect from vein placement, smell, size, taste. I could not get her to stop talking about it. I knew more about this other man's dick than I ever wanted to. In fact, if his dick committed a crime, I could have picked it up of a lineup.
I also know more about this guy's dick than his own.
You know, like the grandma who's going to like late night dinner at 7 p.m. in a Golden Corral is just scandalized. Gertrude is scandalized.
Families moving their kids away. Like, oh my gosh.
So I tell her, I'm not feeling well, and I ask if we can hold off on the movie for tonight. She agrees. I start driving her home, and she uses her context clues to figure out we were near my house, and she starts begging to use the bathroom.
No.
No.
Eventually, not wanting to subject her to a truck stop bathroom, I drive home quickly because my dog also needed to be let out. Yes, yes, hindsight is 20/20. This is a bad idea. I know. So I take my dog out for maybe 3 minutes, come back in, and she's stark naked on my couch. Asking me if I see anything I liked.
In the buffet. Oh. Do you like anything from my Golden Corral? Oh.
All you can eat.
I looked her dead in the eye and said, no, please get dressed.
No.
The most awkward 15-minute drive of my life. I had then interact with her dad when I dropped her off. And he asked if she was pregnant. It was an entire lifetime's worth of nightmares.
I'm dead.
What? I'm upset.
There's parents in all of our episodes.
No.
Meet the parents.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well,
do you see anything you like?
No.
Please get dressed.
No, if you could put your clothes back on.
Also, the most awkward, like getting dressed after that, like you're just like fumbling with your jeans, right?
Putting socks and then your shoes on.
Oh my God.
Oh, jeez, man. That was a good crop today.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The harvest was good.
Blessed be the fruit. All right, Jesus.
Is she pregnant?
Is she pregnant?
Why do I feel like it? Why did I give it that voice? Is she pregnant?
Oh my God.
Okay. Wow. Sorry.
I still can't stop picturing the ninja. I'm going to have dreams about it. A ninja
in a dark wood.
I can't stop.
A really sad cartwheel.
Oh my God.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. We're ready for your tainted love.
Mm-hmm. Well. I have a fucking doozy for you guys.
Oh, shit.
I'm great.
Fucking stoked.
Okay.
I cannot tell you. It has nothing to do with ninjas.
Damn.
Do we need to take a break?
No. Okay. Okay. We're good. We're good.
Okay. We're good. Okay. We're ready. We're tainted love ready. Go for it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you the story of Lady Bluebird, Flypaper Lyda, Lyda Southard.
Ooh, she got names.
Okay.
Lyda, yeah. Is that L-I-D-A?
It's L-Y-D-A.
Oh, that was almost my name.
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it a Greek?
No, I don't like that.
I don't either. Not for me.
For
yeah.
I don't like that for you.
No.
No, I like Keegan for you. For sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. My name's Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes, it is.
We'll get back on topic now. Lyda Southard. I got most of my information, actually, surprisingly got a lot of my information because, okay. I need to clarify this. I found stories. Of course, I looked through Wikipedia. There was a historic horrors article. It's like a blog post by somebody named Megan with no last name. There is a Medium article by someone named Delaney R. Bartlett. There's a New York Daily News article by Mara Bobson. And I did tons of research on this, but the place that I got the most information to clarify a lot of this was actually Find a Grave.
Because this
was like doing family history research.
Wonderful.
This would have been, I literally had visions of me being Christina, like just digging through like the roots of the family tree and like who died when and what. Because there's a lot of information, but a lot of the articles varied. So it was like this person died first and then this person. And it was like, no. And then this story says this. And I'm like, Find a Grave.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Find that date. The actual date.
Yep.
And I did. So let me tell you about Lyda Anna Marie. Well, her name is Anna Marie. No, I'm sorry. Not Anna Marie. It's Anna Elizabeth. Again, thousands of misinformation points. It's Anna Elizabeth Trueblood. That's who she was when she was born.
Trueblood. Imagine having that last name.
Kind of like it.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because our name was Youngblood until we took the blood off.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
So Lyda is the nickname that she got, and she always went by Lyda. So I don't know if there's like some speculation where that nickname came from.
Might
like
have
Elizabeth,
been some,
Eliza,
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
She did come from a big family. She was the third of 11 children. Now, on Find a Grave, she only had six siblings. So I don't know if that number was misconstrued because of these trying times TM.
Right.
If that was like, you know, like that's all that survived childbirth, et cetera, type of situation or what. But she was born in Keatsville, Missouri, which is like northeast Missouri, northeast of Kansas City.
Okay.
So this is 1892. She's the third of possibly 11, possibly seven children. Who knows?
Okay.
The family had ended up moving to Twin Falls, Idaho. They were, you know, just farm workers. They were looking for farms. They had seen, you know, probably some old timey ad about like, oh, the farming in Idaho is fantastic and your crops will grow real
big. They're like potatoes.
Like potatoes.
Right. So they moved the whole family to Twin Falls, Idaho. At the time when she'd moved, Lyda had already met Robert Dooley in Missouri. They were teenagers. They'd met in high school. This was, you know, fresh young love, so much so that he was just smitten with this young beauty that he ends up moving to Idaho as well. Now, listeners, worsties, Idaho is not like a state over.
No.
We're talking about like moving almost to the West Coast. That's how far away this is. This is not.
Don't do
it. Missouri is the middle of the country, dead middle.
Is this some like Oregon Trail shit?
100% is like Oregon Trail shit.
As somebody who moved with their teenage boyfriend across the country, don't do it. Don't do that.
Did you really?
Yeah. When I moved out here, I was 20. He was 19. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we moved from Missouri to California together. Don't do that. Don't do that, Christina.
This is also like younger days, right? We're talking about like the early 1900s,
yes,
right?
So yeah.
Like we're talking about like they're young in love and, you know, God, she's going to be a spinster if she gets to 18.
True. Right?
Exactly.
True.
God, I was going to say like 16, surprised. He's probably got a full-blown career by now.
I'm surprised they didn't get married before they went, honestly. It seems like that would have been the... The thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, he ends up following her out to Twin Falls and his brother. So he and his brother decide to move out there and they get a ranch and start. I don't know if this is like one of those things like at the time, like where a lot of people were moving out to Idaho and this was like, building farms. I don't know. It just gives me those.
Do you ever think about these motherfuckers back in the day, yes, literally just like going across the country? You couldn't Google how to farm. Like, you just had to fucking figure it out.
I'm from Missouri. So
I think that every time I go on a hike, every fucking time, I'm like, people had to like traverse this when there was like nothing. Like, how?
Yeah. With like all their shit. And it's just like two 16-year-olds are like, yeah, let's have a ranch.
Yeah.
What do you know about cattle,
sir? I do believe that his brother was a little bit older than him.
Okay.
But not like significantly, but I think that because I'll tell you, at the time of his death, he was 41 years old.
Okay.
So he was probably like in his late 30s.
Okay.
So I guess significantly. So it's not like he's just moving out here with, you know, like it seems like the older brother maybe was a little bit responsible. Maybe that was.
Wait, so the older brother went with them?
Yes. Well, so family moves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Later, they decide to move.
Okay.
So he decides to move with he and his brother decide they're going to Idaho as well. Twin Falls, here we come.
They're like, light as letters make Idaho sound beautiful. We have to go.
Yeah. I need to be with her.
Great.
So they do. They move out there. They start a ranch. And it does work out. Lyda and he wed in 1912. And at the time, they do move onto the farm, onto the ranch with Robert. So it's, you know, the family, little family estate and that they shared. And Robert's brother is Ed. So.
Okay.
In 1914, they end up having a daughter named Lorraine. And, you know, everything's fucking wedded bliss and everything is beautiful and happy and everybody's getting along.
And that's how it stays the end.
And it's wonderful. And you know what? Ed's like, I'm going to go ahead and get a life insurance policy because anything happens to me, I am a little bit older. I want to make sure that you guys get the you know, you guys get the ranch, you guys get everything. I just don't want anything to happen.
A little bit older in 1912 is like 35.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds very practical. It sounds very responsible.
Yeah. And so he does. He leaves them, you know, a will and whatever. And Robert's like, you know what? That's not a bad idea. I have a child now too. So, you know, I also should get an insurance policy, right? Like we should just take care of ourselves. What if anything should happen? We want to make sure that our land, our loved ones are taken care of, and it's so responsible. But you know, this wedded bliss and happy life were short-lived, and ranch life's hard. And later that same year, 1915, this is literally a year after Lorraine's born, just a year later.
Yeah, they'd just been married in 1912.
Yeah,
so
this is 3 years after their marriage,
still the honeymoon period, in quotes.
Robert's brother Ed dies from ptomaine poisoning, which is basically just old timey speak for food poisoning.
Oh, well, I mean, good thing he got that insurance policy.
I mean, thank God.
Wow.
Honestly.
In the nick of time.
Just in the nick of time. And the insurance policy was for his brother and for Lyda. So they both were able to take this money. But the hits just keep coming. And poor Lyda, in October, this is August, he dies. And in October, her fucking husband dies.
What?
Shock and
typhoid fever. Can you imagine?
Well, this is also the time, like, we're getting right up on the Spanish flu time. So
don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
I've got you covered. So, August 1915, Ed dies. October 1915,
these people her husband dies. Never fucking just hold their horses, like ever.
But the tragedies just don't stop.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Poor Lorraine.
1915, November, Lorraine has gotten into some dirty well water and also has died. So now, poor Lyda.
How many months after her husband did Lorraine die?
Like a month.
A month.
What? Like, I swear to God, it's just like
August, October, November.
That story that I told about my, like, the people from my hometown. I'm like, woman, like, space it out.
Yeah, a little. Just try a little. But this is the 1900s. And you know what? It's, you want to talk about
die.
These trying times. Like, that was, mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking exactly. Typhoid fever is a thing that's rampant.
Yep.
You're talking about, yeah, the starts of, you know, like,
Spanish flu, tuberculosis. Yeah.
It's not easy times. And, you know, you're not in Twin Falls. I cannot imagine at that time was like a big bustling huge mm-hmm. city. Like, we're talking, and the ranchers, you know, they do have access to well water, bad water, and all these kinds of things. It's not really that suspicious. But at the same time,
it's suspicious.
It's yeah.
Suspicious. It's suspicious because of how quickly it happens. That's yes. what I mean is I'm
and
just
the
like
the fact that she's fine.
Yeah, I feel like no one would bat an eye at this time if it had been spanned out, like, yeah. Like, you know, a little bit, because it's just like, what makes it suspicious is that it's like, nothing happens. Everybody's dead.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, except for come you? On.
Yeah. But, you know, again, it's tough times. And
if I'm her, she better get the F out of Idaho.
Well, she doesn't, though. But 1 year later, she, you know, in the span of 1 year, she had lost everything and on her little homestead. And then, you know, she's like got that insurance money. She's doing okay. And Lyda was described as a real beauty. So she's like, I'm still young.
She's like, but I'm hot though.
And also it's a lot of work to be on this homestead by myself. Right. I need someone to chop some wood.
Right. She's like, so young widow or not, she has no problem finding a husband number two and was remarried and in June of 1917 to William McHaffey. This is, you know, she meets a new guy. She's like, time to start over. And you know what? You're right. Twin Falls seems poisonous.
Yeah.
It seems deadly.
Bad memories.
Yeah.
Like, let's get the F out of here. And with the money that she gains from the insurance that from both of the men, as well as the sale of the ranch, William and Lyda end up moving to Montana. They're like, fresh start. Love it.
People don't know my past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you guys, tragedy does not stay just in Idaho.
No kidding.
After a year, in September, a year later, after they got married, William became ill. And by 1918, they got married in 1917,
mm-hmm.
only 1 month or 1 year and 4 months later, he's dead.
Did he have a insurance policy?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He wanted to make sure his wife was fine.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's just good husbanding.
But the weird thing was, is that, you know, his life insurance policy just days before had actually expired. He had forgotten to pay his second round.
Oh,
so
that's
instead
too bad.
Of the $5,000 that she would have gotten, she only got $500. So it's just a real bummer for her. You know,
yeah. That's too bad.
How is she on top of?
Yeah, how is she going to take care of herself?
Yeah. Just $500, you guys, in 1918.
Mm.
So, which is still quite a fucking bit of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, this was again 1918. Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
So his death was written off very quickly as influenza and likely due to the tainted water in his, you know.
Y'all.
Yeah. You gotta stay away from that tainted water.
Bad water left and right.
You know, all over the place. Lyda, undeterred, she still believes in love. And she ends up marrying her third husband in March of 1920. I found that McHaffey had died by his gravestone,
mm-hmm. right,
December of 1918.
Yeah,
right. This is just months, or just I guess like a year later. Right?
Okay.
So 1920. Sorry. So she finds her third husband, in March 1920. This is only 4 months after marrying the car, this new car sales husband, Harlan Lewis, in Billings, Montana. He dies 4 months after they got married of gastroenteritis. Can you imagine the unlucky?
I really feel like I'm going to need the next husband has got to ask some questions.
You know, she's just really unlucky, but this time she did get her $5,000 insurance.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she's like, honey, insurance. Did you pay?
Yeah. Yes, she asked.
Asked me that yesterday.
Just making sure.
On top of it.
Lyda heads back to Idaho, though, where she had, she's like, time to go home. No luck in Montana either. This water is
these real men jazz. Just will oh. not stop dying.
Just cannot stay alive. This is where she meets Edward F. Meyer, a ranch foreman in Pocatello, Idaho. And this time, typhoid finds Ed just 3 weeks. Trace weeks.
Wow.
Just 3 weeks after their marriage.
Serial killer, man.
Yeah.
She is technically the first female serial killer. Of in the U.S. anyway. That's definitely what. So they just, I mean, now it's escalating too. We went from like 3 years together, a year together, months together, three weeks. Honey, slow it down.
Her tolerance is low.
Very low. Like, so, but it's typhoid again is how he meets his demise. Everyone's pretty certain. But not everyone's certain.
Like, where's her family? Like, are her parents not just like, hey, you know, listen, not that we really want to talk about this, but do you think something weird's going on with Lyda? Because I feel like, don't you think? Like, somebody in the community,
during that time period, the community was, I think, much more engaged in what was going on. Like, the congregation, because everybody had to go to church, would notice.
And they did.
Well,
Twin Falls isn't big enough to be hiding your secrets like that.
Yeah, because
in fact,
I could see
everybody knew each other.
I could see it if she was moving like she was for a minute, like going from place to place. It's like, people don't talk to each other back in the day, like from county to county. Like that would be easy.
Right.
But like if you're in one community and especially with your family members, like I'd be like, low key, I don't want to believe this about our daughter, but also like a little suspicious, right? Like,
ladies lunching or like
eating their cucumber sandwiches. Just,
well, it's so funny that you say that because the community is small and everybody kind of knows each other. One of her first husband's relatives, Dooley, Robert Dooley, one of his relatives, Earl Dooley, is a chemist in town. And he's like, you know what? I got suspicions.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So he does a little bit of legwork and he's like, funny enough, he's like, I did just see her recent husband. Ed Meyer, because again, everybody knows each other. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and he was pretty fucking sick. So I don't know what's going on, but it does seem weird, right?
Right.
So he does a little bit of research. Now, there's a lot of stories about where he tests. It's said that he goes back to the original house that where she said that her original husband, Robert, had died, where he fell on the ground and he did some dirt scrapings and that's how he found the arsenic. There's some stories that say that happened where Edward died, her most recent husband died, but there's not any through line that says specifically exactly how he found it, but he did find traces of arsenic. So
it smells like almonds in here.
weird
baking.
But Dooley is like, well, I don't want to just do this by myself, so he enlists Dr. Hal Beiler and Edwin Rodenbach, a fellow chemist, to also confirm his findings, which of course conclude that Ed indeed did die of arsenic poisoning.
Science.
So yeah. I mean, I also feel like it would be suspicious because she's not getting sick. Like, it's like the Spanish flu was so contagious.
So contagious. Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
So everyone around you got it. But I mean, yeah, you're not Typhoid Mary. So,
yeah.
But she does try to pull that trick at some point. And be like, everybody around me is getting the typhoid.
Yeah, maybe I'm asymptomatic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like, yeah, except that, like, literally, it's only your husbands that are getting
Yeah. And so your kids.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But so at any rate, she's like, you know what? I feel like maybe this is a lot of husbands in the same area. So I'm going to go ahead and deuce this out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, they're like, I want to go ahead and let's talk to the police here. I think we should start digging up some bodies and see what our arsenic levels are on some of these. And they did. They exhumed all the bodies, and almost all of them had traces of some amount of arsenic. Some of the bodies were so well preserved that it was unlikely that they didn't have arsenic, even if it wasn't showing up.
I feel like that's got to be high levels of arsenic if it's preserving these bodies. Yeah. Like, wow.
The only body that did not have actual traces of arsenic were Lorraine, the baby.
Oh, so maybe...
So it's possible that she wasn't poisoned, but they're not 100% sure.
Or she killed her in another way because it's a baby and right. It would require less like...
Yeah, investigative work.
And physicality. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. Like if she's a woman going up against men, her husband. So sure. Poisoning them is an easier way. But, not that you want to think about it that way, but it's like...
But yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
But on a search of her home, and she's gone now, so the police are like, let's go check her place out a little bit. You know, yeah. Just see what's going on
there. A little peeksy.
Little looks around.
Yeah.
They find that she has enormous quantities of fly paper. And they found a lot of these fly papers in barrels of water to leach out the arsenic poisoning from inside of these. Because fly paper at the time had arsenic on it. So they determined that that is how she was... leaching out this arsenic poisoning to then. So who knows, too? The baby might have gotten into
maybe
that well water.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this right? really does sound like a person who doesn't want... She doesn't want to be hauling a baby around. Yeah. Right. You know, so
it's trickier to get a new husband, yeah, too, when you yeah. got a baby.
That's true. So this is how they got the term flypaper Lida.
What an unfortunate nickname. I would not... I'd be like, could you...
Well, they call her Lady Bluebeard.
Lady Bluebeard, I think, is
Bluebeard.
Is
yeah.
Beard? Beard? Like Bluebeard? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, because he killed his one. Yeah.
Did he? I don't know.
Bluebeard?
I don't know.
That's yeah. the Bluebeard story. Yeah. Okay. Is that like he murdered his wives?
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit. Somebody tell that story here. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I can do another pirate story. Yeah. I'd love to.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. All right. So this time, though, Lida was, you know, she's like, I need to get away. So she takes a trip down to Los Angeles and ends up in Hawaii. She's like, the mainland just isn't doing it for me. Mm. So she finds...
I mean, who among us wouldn't want to go to Hawaii? It's beautiful there.
I'm, yes.
Hashtag paradise.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
The police now are like, we need to find Lida. She's clearly... a murderess.
Yeah.
And we need to get her ass. So they track her down in Hawaii, where she is married again to husband number 5 in November of 1920.
Wow.
This is,
you know,
a lot happened in 1920.
I really feel like this, I always end up saying this, and I don't mean it to be complimentary, but like, I'm always impressed. I'm like, man.
She was married in March of 1920. Husband died. Married again in November.
And moved to Hawaii.
And who moved That's to a lot. Hawaii.
All of these proposals, I am always, I'm like, man, like, that's impressive to be able to get this many people to propose to you in such a short period of time.
Right. Well, this new husband is Naval Officer Paul Southard. Luckily, Paul had not quite gotten around to buying that life insurance. And he was like, you know, the Navy already has like some good policies in place. I don't think there's any reason to get additional life insurance. And she's like, are you sure?
I really feel like you should.
I think you should. What if anything happens? I just don't want anything to happen to you. And if it does, though. He did not get that insurance policy. And by now, she had been tracked down. And they had told her at that time, Paul was like, don't worry, honey. I'm standing behind you. She was the perfect wife. And they took her in and took her into custody. And Paul was like, I'm going to go ahead and get that divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out. Yeah. I'm actually going to. I'm done.
It's like, actually, I don't even know her very well. We like just met, so it's fine. Actually,
she's a good wife, but not that good. She is charged. This is they take her back to Idaho, and October 3rd, 1921. This 6-week trial begins for only Ed's death. Ed, her most recent husband. So even though they have all this information, they feel like they can only charge her with Ed's death. And don't worry, guys. She's found guilty of second-degree murder.
What?
Second-degree murder. And is sentenced to?
No.
Probation.
Like a year.
Time. 10 years.
Oh, okay.
To life.
Jesus.
10 years, guys.
Right, but like for like five. Yeah, six if you count the baby, which right. we absolutely should. Yeah. So yeah, six.
So 10 years. So she's six deaths, but she got 10 years to life. So, you know, there she goes.
How long did away she in prison. Serve?
Just kidding. Here we go.
Oh,
but not
no.
one to be held back by something as simple as prison. She escapes on May 13th, 1931.
Wow. Ma'am. Prison break.
With the help of a guard, Jack Watkins.
Of she, course. Listen, her, like, she's magic. Like, her pussy is magic. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be.
She has help getting out, of course, because of Jack Watkins, but also she had been writing pen pal letters with another prisoner who had just been released, David Minton.
I need this kind of confidence. Really?
David helped her as well. So with all the help that Jack had given her, once she made it out of the prison, David was there to meet her with his car and they took off. So funny story, possibly unrelated. Jack also died just 2 days before the actual escape happened.
Oh.
The prison guard.
Possibly unrelated. Yeah. Could be.
Just suspicious. At any rate, this they head to Denver. And with, you know, her, like I said, jailbird boyfriend, David Minton. This is where she found a job as a housekeeper to Harry Whitlock. Who she would marry in March of 1932.
Wow.
When Harry found out the truth about Lyda, though, and likely from the jilted ex who had turned her in for the $50 reward, he helped the police track her down in Topeka, Kansas. They found her with her hair dyed black and two replacement teeth in her front of her mouth, two gold teeth. She was like, I'm in Haddon.
Wow. And
a look.
For real. It's a whole ass vibe.
But don't worry, guys. She does go back to prison. But don't worry. It's not going to be that bad for her in prison. I don't want you to feel like she is going to get really punished for this.
I was worried.
Yeah. So. She's not. Her prison life would be super cush because she quickly won over the warden, George Rudd, who would give Lyda many allowances to just go out, visit her mother, go to the movies, hit the spa. He's like, yeah, you day pass for that sounds fine. Yeah, go ahead.
I need to know her sign.
Like, yeah, what kind of manipulative sign?
I don't understand. I'm like, how?
This feels very Scorpio.
People like this. Yeah, it does. It is Scorpio season. Yeah. People like this. Like, I'm like, it's fucking awful, but there is a level to which I'm like, I can't help it. I'm like impressed by this. I'm like, how? I need just 1/10 of that self-confidence.
Right.
Like, I could move mountains with 1/10 of that self-confidence.
Right.
That is bananas.
Yeah.
Listen, in 1941, though, she does get let out because, you know, she's on parole. And in 1942, she does get a full pardon from the governor. She's
pardon?
48
For
years
what? Why?
Wow.
So she does eventually land back in Twin Falls. She tries her hand at marriage again. You know, she's going to try.
That's got to be awkward.
That's a brave man.
Hal really? Shaw. 2 years in, though, Hal Shaw just disappears and no one has ever heard from him since. He just up and left.
Up and left.
Up and left.
He just up and left. No one knows what happened to Hal.
Mm-hmm.
Just gone. So she's like, you know what? I don't think he's coming back. I'm going to Salt Lake. And this is where she takes a job as a housekeeper for a bachelor in Salt Lake City. But this is also where she dies of a heart attack in 1958. She is buried in Twin Falls under the name Anna E. Shaw.
Wow. Wow.
And that is...
That's a wild ride.
Wild ride. The wild story of Lyda.
I mean, what a life.
I mean, which last
name? Ride it to the wheels fall off,
seriously,
I guess.
Yeah.
Pick a last name. Lyda, pick a last name. Lady Bluebeard.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was a good one.
That's a lot of marriages. And as somebody that's Seven. Like, maybe like, yeah. I mean, divorce is really annoying, you know?
Wow.
but I mean, you're like, well,
how about the guy who was only with her for 3 weeks?
That poor bastard.
I feel like he could have just gotten an annulled or something.
No, but you need the money.
Oh, yeah.
You're not gonna get no money from an annulment.
Yeah.
You can't squeeze in 7 marriages if you have to go through a divorce every time. You can't.
Okay. Don't I
can't
know
get
it?
Get them in. I know. I know right? It. Yeah. Yeah. That's a process.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
That is so wild.
I've never heard of this.
I can't believe the governor was like, it's fine.
Okay. So, sidebar, there's a story attached to this but I think we've all heard many versions of where the term serial killer came from, but they said that a French newspaper reporting on her was the first time. This would have been 1931.
Funny because fucking John Douglas keeps trying to say that he invented it and is so false, but yeah.
But they said that this might have been the first time the term serial killer had been used in a French newspaper. So we don't know. I don't know. Somebody would have to really do some real actual research to find out.
But no, she was a serial killer.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, she definitely was. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the first death is 1915 until she's caught.
And it was so clear, too, that like the minute that her brother-in-law came home and was like, hey, there's this thing called life insurance. I was just thinking maybe I would get it just to make sure that y'all are good. Like light bulb. Right. Yeah. Like she was like, oh, okay. That's,
you know what? Smart. You know what, Robert? You should do that too.
Yeah, just make sure me and baby Lorraine are.
We just want to be taken care of.
Yeah,
things are tough right now.
Don't want anything to happen to the farm.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Can you fucking imagine? 5 years. The span of 5 years, she had 5 husbands.
Chaos.
4 of them were dead, plus a brother-in-law and a daughter.
Well, you couldn't Google. I'm sure she didn't tell new husbands about husband 1 name. Through 4.
She's got different names every time, too.
I've never been married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Or even if you did tell them that your husband died, that would have been like, maybe sympathy points. It's like, oh, this poor woman, she needs to be taken care of.
One husband died.
Yes. But yeah, you're not telling 4 them.
4 husbands? Yeah.
In the span of 3 years?
No.
That's a red flag.
Yeah.
Back in that day.
Yeah. Yeah. How hot was she? Wait.
That's what we need to know.
Pretty hot.
Well, all right. Well, what are you guys watching this week?
Well, I watched The Chestnut Man on Netflix. It is a Danish crime procedural, which I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I finished it. I liked it. I love that Netflix is really leaning into a lot of like foreign language shows. I have like several things saved. It has to be a particular time for me to watch it because again, like you have to focus because you have to read subtitles because I don't do dubbed versions of things.
Yeah, I don't either.
It always like distracts me.
Yeah, it throws me off and you lose a lot of the performance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so I would just rather read the subtitles, but they have a lot of stuff. Like they've got a Korean true crime documentary that I've added to my list of things to watch.
The Rinko guy.
So I really want to watch that. But Chestnut Man, I thought it was very good. It's dark. It is pretty like graphic, gory. So like not gory, but graphic. They show stuff. So just be aware of that if that's not what you're into.
Yeah. I started watching The Foundation on
The Foundation trilogy. Isaac Asimov?
Yeah. I've watched 2 episodes. From what I remember about the book, it's really different, but I guess it would have to be because the book is just too dense and there's too many characters and stuff like that. But I'm enjoying it so far. I think if you like shows like The Expanse.
Oh, I love The Expanse.
Then you would enjoy Foundation.
Okay.
Because it's geopolitical drama so far and math.
Yeah. And we have the books.
Yeah.
If you're interested. Ooh, okay.
Books are really good. Yeah. But yeah, like so far I'm enjoying it. You know, it's something I'm not over.
Yeah.
Television. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I've watched everything.
I've been doing a lot more podcasts than television lately.
Really. Yeah.
Me too.
Really getting back into it. which speaking of, I listened to, I think I'm going to do that because this week I like really didn't watch much TV.
I think that qualifies for sure. Tell us what you're listening to.
I'm listening to a show that I shared with you guys, which is the 60 songs.
In
the 90s. Mm-hmm. I heard it from listening to How Did This Get Made? Paul Scheer had recommended it on his show. And I was like, oh, I got to check this out. And it is. It's really fucking good, dude. There's an episode with Tori Amos with Cornflake Girl. They do an episode with like Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, God.
It's just like it's and I recommend like it's so funny because Paul was actually just recommending this to on his last episode. He was like, I recommend starting with an artist that you like and kind of go from there. And I did kind of I started with Achy Breaky Heart. And I was like, why? I don't have to listen to this in order. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, I can skip. So I went to like Outkast. I listened to Rose Parks and I listened to. And yeah, so it's definitely much more interesting to get into it with artists you like first. And then the others become more interesting because you're like, oh, OK. Deep dive. I want to know more. I want to have this conversation.
And you're getting to know the hosts and things like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really good. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Nice.
But it's only on Spotify, just FYI.
Oh, okay. Well, if you guys have stuff that we should listen to or watch, if you have stories, especially if they are about teenage ninja performances, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's mywordstatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.